Hello, everybody. This is the fifth episode of my podcast, B is for Bisexual, and it's entitled Fringe. My name is Laura Valtorta, and I'm here with my son, Dante Valtorta. Do not forget to watch my narrative feature comedy, Bermuda, which is on Amazon and Tubi, and to look for B is for Bisexual, the Kindle edition. This story, Fringe, involves a mother who's the owner of a bookstore explaining to her son, Marco, about how her life has progressed. Dante is going to be reading the parts of the husband, Glenn, and the son, Marco, and I'm going to be reading the parts of the narrator and Selena. Now we're beginning Fringe. 1979, South Pasadena. When I first met your father, Aunt Selena and I were living above the lunatic fringe, and our bookstore was the gathering place for feminists. Not only did we sell books written by and about women, but we were also the hot spot for information on where to get an abortion or childcare, the best lawyer for a divorce. Who in power cared about ending domestic violence, and who were the abusers themselves? But Lunatic Fringe was also a fun place to go and hang out. When you walked in, we judged you for your personality and fire rather than the size of your breasts or your fashion. Our group included many big-boobed women, but we also included all kinds of flat-chested, bushy-headed, big-assed, freckled, chinless, wispy, muscled, flabby thighs, thick-necked, kind-hearted, witchy women. All our customers were beautiful. We had some crazy times, like mooning the hair salon next door and then getting our heads shaved. I was loud and tall and white with hair like a bird's nest. Selena was flashy brown and short-legged, with a horsetail braid. She was the pop and fizz of the store. Selena called me the welcomer because I made sure to greet everyone. When Glenn, your father, walked in with his long stringy hair and beads, I was the one who ushered him in and showed him the Native American section, even though he was a man and we usually didn't get many of those as customers. He was new in town, I thought, because of his clothes and his quiet ways. Better not to alienate him when he might be one of the men on our side. Not many men appreciated female empowerment. They didn't then, and they don't now. I hope you, son, will grow up different. As long as you realize your own worth, nobody can threaten you, not even a woman who might steal the show from you on stage or win over you in court. There's a value in including others working a crowd. It helps you and it helps them. Your dad was pretty stoic even back then. He had that soft blanket tone of voice of Native Americans. He was from the PD tribe of South Carolina. I grew up on a dairy farm in northern New York State, and he was a first for me. First man I loved. Although we lived within miles of Akwesasne when we were growing up, I had no real interaction with the Mohawks or any Native Americans until I met your dad. They existed in the background, known for climbing on high buildings without fear and helping to build the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yes, I'm looking for a topographical map of California,
he said. Russell Means? I asked, ignoring his request for maps because of his long hair and getup. And that was how we got to talking. He wanted to write a book about First Nation people, including Mexicans, with plenty of photographs. I wanted to publish a book of poetry.
No, my name is Glenn Storm Cloud.
I wanted to laugh, but suppressed that urge.
You should write screenplays.
Selena walked by and frowned. Josephine writes poetry, she said. Glenn looked at her with those calm gray eyes.
Films get a bigger audience.
There was nothing much Selena could say to that. He bought a huge atlas with the last of his money. When I found out that he had no place to stay, I invited him to use our guest bedroom in the apartment above the store. Selena did not like that, but she was gracious enough to stay quiet. She made other plans. She never screamed or fought or broke any dishes. She just sulked. Selena and I had been running Lunatic Fringe for 10 years together as a couple. In the beginning, we were anarchists, but as time went on and laws changed for the better, there were fewer things to protest. Abortion was legal. Women began to get good jobs. Our lives became placid. The sex became less exciting. I offered to buy Selena out of the Lunatic Fringe, and she agreed. Selena invested that money in her farm, Ugly Fruit. She uses no pesticides. She works along the pickers, who are her friends. We all saw her on Thursdays at the farmer's market. We made trips out there on the weekends. Glenn got a job at Warner Brothers taking publicity shots. He was obedient and got the job done.
Fuzzy photos of hollow people,
he called them. He was excited about having a paycheck. Nobody in his family had done that before. His real passion was driving around in his truck on the weekends to photograph the Mixtec and Zapotec people who worked on the farms. Selena got him some introductions. Once a year, he staged a powwow at the store. I saw no reason to move out of the Lunatic Fringe apartment even after birthing you and your sister. We saved more money that way. We all loved working in the store and reading books. Kiara played with the Legos, and you learned to stock the shelves and run the cash register. I hired help at the coffee counter that gave me more time to write. I began to write screenplays, start and stop. With you two kids running around, everything took a year to write. 1990, South Pasadena. I told Glenn, you need to slow down and stay home. One powwow per year is not doing it for me. If you hate the kids, just say so.
No, I love our children. They just aren't old enough to be interesting.
The kids are 7 and 10. How old do they have to get to be interesting?
18.
We were both helping Selena at the farmer's market every Thursday. That one evening in quiet wasn't enough time for me to write my screenplay. I don't care if the kids are interesting or not, I said to Glenn. You need to take care of them on the weekends so I can write. Your dad said nothing, but he bought you both cameras. That's when the weekend photo journey started. I know he took you out into the desert. I know he took you to avocado plantations when it was hot. He did that because I asked him to.
We're lucky he remembered to bring the cooler with ice and water, or both of us would be dead. He wouldn't even let us turn on the radio.
That's just your father. He's adamant. A one-trick pony. You have to love him for trying. Look at your photo albums to remember more. All of it wasn't that bad. You took some good pictures. By the time you were 11, I'd finished work on The Sun God, and it was my first real screenplay. Glenn showed it to some colleagues at Warner Brothers, and it was optioned. I thought the film they made of it was pretty lame, though. Keanu Reeves looked nothing like your dad. They should have hired a real Indian with the right patient attitude, like Graham Greene. Not just any Asian actor would do.
Your screenplay is better,
said Glenn, and that was the end of his commentary on a film about himself. 2005, Los Angeles and Ventura County. I began writing The Farm Goddess after I rented writing space in Los Angeles, figuring it would do me good to get away from the store. But when I was in L.A., all I wanted to do was watch plays and films and go to exhibits at LACMA, eat lunch at exciting places. There's too much to do in that city. I spend every lunch getting bounced around and disgusted at the Mexican market near Our Lady of the Angels. The Fringe in Los Angeles was too centered. Kiara was running the store by then. I let her do it. The kids her age were all talking about color barriers and speaking Spanish. You went off to school to become a lawyer. Glenn was working harder and harder at his movie studio job. As a person over 50, he felt discriminated against, even more than he had been as an Indian. He struggled to hang on.
I treasure this regular job. My parents always existed on welfare. I don't want to exist. I want retirement money, dental insurance.
The studios were going digital. Producers took production photos on their cell phones. Glenn cut his hair and took up golfing. He thought that would keep him friendly with the studio bosses. I quit wasting money on a writing studio and brought my laptop to Selena's farm, Ugly Fruit, in Ventura County. It still had a nice rural quiet to it and some pleasant weather, especially during the winter. The stone fruit was growing without the burden of pesticides, peaches, plums, and nectarines. Selena was stoned and sleeping it off in her bedroom. She disappointed me. I remembered her as a fireball feminist.
I guess life is like a roller coaster.
Yes, and Selena in her 50s was not allowed on the ride because she was too short and she was smoking too much. My screenplay, Farm Goddess, needed a denouement. I didn't want a tragedy. I couldn't end it with Selena sleeping her exasperation off on the floor. I began to camp out at Selena's farm and encourage her to watch the news. She hated the general public, but all the woes of the 21st century were illustrated by her itinerant farm workers. Build some decent housing for them, I told her. Find a talented lawyer. She built 5 cabins. We shopped in town for a new young lawyer to help the Mexicans and Venezuelans with immigration. I put up notices in the store. We found a young woman, newly graduated from law school, fresh off the bar exam. She was Italian-American, so I liked her a lot. We made sure she labeled herself a feminist. You are not a lawyer at that time, otherwise we would have considered hiring you after you labeled yourself a feminist.
6 months ago, I became smart enough to do that.
Being a feminist is more than a marketing ploy. With Black Lives Matter, I saw an additional chance for Selena to be reborn. She was not African American, but because she was Mexican and First Nation, she considered the fight for justice to be her fight, just as she embraced the fight for women's rights. Selena had been treated as a farmhand rather than a farmer from the moment she bought Ugly Fruit. The conventions, the Farm Bureau, the picnics, and the auctions had all pushed her into the background until she broke through and butted heads with them and shouted her name. Now they treated her as a token, and that still was not good enough. I want other brown people to get a mortgage and buy land, she told me. Then she went and smoked more weed to console herself, drank alcohol. I stuck around to shake her sober. I couldn't bring Glenn there because he might start drinking alcohol himself. Both of my lovers have been alcoholics. Look at this, I said, pointing to YouTube. This kid was shot because he walked around his neighborhood eating Skittles. Selena laughed sarcastically. He would not have been so much safer working on my farm, she said. Several rapes and murders had occurred since she started hiring pickers. Why do you think that is? I asked her. All the violence around here, Mexican against Mexican. No money, no college, said Selena. You have to attend college to break free of machismo. Get your head out of your ass. Maybe we should start a college resource center at Lunatic Fringe, I told her. And that's how our college resource center began. Selena and I ganged up on Kiara and forced her to set aside a table with a computer and resources for kids who wanted to apply for college scholarships. We moved Kiara's craft corner to the side. We didn't turn anybody away, but most of our clientele had darker skin. I had fun helping the high school students, most of whom were soft-mannered and polite, not hooligans. Selena bullied the colleges into paying more attention to life skills like cooking, living on a budget, and negotiating with authorities from a very young age. Admissions officers at colleges began to fear Selena. She stopped drinking and started bullying those colleges. You know, as a lawyer, you should use your skills getting these kids into college. Put aside all that tax evasion shit and do the world a real service. Come on, Marco.
The tax evasion shit is what allows me to combat domestic abuse on the side.
I get you, son, but sooner or later you're going to get burned out on family problems. Once your father decided that golf and his job were more important than activism, I knew I had to invite Selena back into my life. I put them both to the test. There's a Black Lives Matter march on Saturday, I said to them both one day at dinner. Who wants to go with me? Selena raised her hand. I don't have anything going on at the farm that Armando can't handle. Glenn shook his head.
I've got a golf game with a producer.
Even though I knew that Glenn's golf game with the producer would be as good for me as it was for Glenn, I said something mean to him. Go sleep with the producer. Glenn shrugged in that melancholy way of his. When he came home that night, Selena was in bed with me and Glenn had to sleep in the guest bedroom. The next morning, I made a big breakfast of bacon and waffles for both of them. We talked about the march and Glenn's golf game. Glenn had lost. He convinced that producer to read The Farm Goddess. For all I know, he and the producer had sex afterwards. Or maybe he has another woman in L.A. None of that matters. My best life is going between Glenn and Selena. Both of them need me, and I never get bored. 2015 Hollywood. When I realized that I was a yo-yo woman, I began writing The Lunatic, a story about me. I think it will be my best screenplay ever. It might even be inspiring enough to make a decent film. One that leaves viewers with their mouths wide open with fear and hope. I imagine the male directors looking at it and shaking their heads. Where are the car chases? Where are the murders? My film will be about living life on the odd side, building a bookstore, challenging the plastic people, and helping others. Charlize Theron could play me, even though we look nothing alike, because Charlize takes risks. The best thing about living with both Selena and Glenn is that neither one of them gets angry. Why should they? Each of them has their own life. Selena will always have her farm. Glenn will always love his photography and his heritage. Your children belong to both of them, and I'm the queen of the mountain. You, Marco, can do whatever you want with the law degree. I know that you will always be helping your clients, even though some of them might be rich. Who knows, maybe they will employ some Italians or some Indians. But when you choose a wife, son, whatever, remember the need for no anger. Someday, you may need to exchange that wife for a man or for another woman. Your life changes every day, like a totem pole. The end.